broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. Tornadoes in the south, heavy rain and high winds from Florida to Massachusetts has all left much of the eastern part of the country drenched and flooded. CBS New York's Vanessa Burdock is in New Jersey.
In North Bergen, several spots got drowned out and closed off. Inches of rain just too much for the earth to swallow and far too much for the capacity of this storm drain. The excessive water, such a burden on the sewer in Piscataway, officials ask residents to refrain from running dishwashers and washing machines in hopes the system does not get overwhelmed.
Weather radar shows Boston and eastern Massachusetts getting the worst of it right now. Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun has high praise for the crew that reacted quickly after the door plug blowout on one of its 737 MAX jets last week.
Huge thanks and compliments to the Alaskan Air team that flew the airplane, number one, pilots and crew, who got that airplane back on the ground at a very tumultuous moment.
Boeing video shows Calhoun saying the company will acknowledge its mistakes. New rules after the defense secretary kept his treatment for prostate cancer under wraps for days. CBS's David Martin is at the Pentagon.
The White House ordered all cabinet secretaries to immediately report whenever they are not able to perform their duties. And the Pentagon began a review of what took so long. Austin's spokesman provided one answer.
Despite the frequency of prostate cancer, discussions about screening, treatment, and support are often deeply personal and private ones.
Austin has apologized for his lack of transparency. Another cabinet secretary is the subject of an impeachment hearing being held by House Republicans in a few hours. Here's CBS's Stacey Lynn.
If they're successful, Mayorkas would be the first cabinet secretary impeached in nearly 150 years. The goal of Republicans is to capitalize on the border crisis and hold the Biden administration accountable. Their plan is to run the impeachment effort through the House Homeland Security Committee and not the House Judiciary Committee, which is where impeachment articles typically originate. But there are still key GOP holdouts on the judiciary panel. They're confident, though, they'll have the votes to advance it this way instead.
Donald Trump may not win his battle for presidential immunity in a Washington appeals court, but CBS's Scott McFarland says he may be counting on the process working in his favor.
Whoever loses can appeal to the full D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, and they don't like that. They could appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. But all of this expends time. Donald Trump's M.O. has been to drag this out and delay this. Just having these arguments, waiting for the ruling, waiting for the appeal, it puts that March 4th trial date in grave jeopardy.
Ahead of the opening bell, S&P futures are up 3.5. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Nate Wegehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wet, heavy snow fell in much of southern and eastern Wisconsin until late on Tuesday. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells Jane Mattenier that 40-mile-per-hour winds will keep driving hazardous until the snow ends.
When you get underneath one of those snow bands, you'll see some snow accumulating a lot quicker out there, making it harder for the plows to keep up with. But they've been doing an awesome job so far. Mm-hmm. I've been checking cameras across the state. Hats off to you guys.
Wet, heavy snow is causing some power outages. Governor Evers says he's having a hard time finding a new Department of Natural Resources secretary. The Republican-controlled state Senate fired 8 of his appointees to different boards and commissions last fall. Evers says some candidates he's considered tell him they don't want to put their families in that situation. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
It's the Badgers and the Buckeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. It's now number 15th ranked Wisconsin against Ohio State tonight. The game in Columbus at the Schottenstein Center. Number 11th ranked Marquette at home taking on Butler. NFL, Packers and the Cowboys Sunday. Dallas, 7.5-point favorites to win. Matt LaFleur still has confidence in his defense.
When we have all 11 doing their job and playing as one, there's been some pretty good performances. It's just when whether it's communication or somebody has a missed assignment, that's when bad things happen.
Now, the first time Mike McCarthy faced the Packers, the Cowboys blew a 28-14 lead. As Aaron Rodgers led the Pack on a 31-28 win in overtime, McCarthy had this to say.
Well, I mean, we were totally in control of that game, as, you know, as far as our viewpoint. And I felt when we got the ball that we were going to go down a score and then see what happens. So I'm very disappointed for the players because I thought they definitely did enough today to win.
That's Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with some light snow developing by late this afternoon. Our high right around 30 with wind west at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy with some light snow, a couple of inches possible by the time everything ends late tonight. Our low 20. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 28. More measurable snow possible Friday, Saturday. After that, it is going to get really cold. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 now on this Wednesday morning, January 10th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or the Civic Media app, through our social media video feeds, or even on demand by podcast. Thanks for subscribing, taking us along on your day. I've got a question for you. How much snow did you get so far? How much snow overall, I guess, because this part of the storm has moved on by and large for parts of Wisconsin, but not before dumping nearly a foot of snow in many places here. I'm just looking at some of last night's readings that came in. Parts of Grant County getting 10 to 12 inches of snow. Let's see, La Crosse got 5.6 here. Richland Center, 6.3 inches. Let's see, Mondovi in Buffalo County, just about 2 inches there. So, you know, some folks got a pretty good amount. The rest of us got something to kind of slick up the roads a little bit and remind us that, yes, it really is still winter and that we've got a little ways to go yet with more snow chances coming over the next few days here. So Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot is going to tell us all about that coming up about an hour from now. As far as what else we have coming up this morning here, we're going to have Congressman Mark Pocan joining us in our second hour. He's going to join us on a bit more of a regular basis as we move through this current congressional session, which is supposed to resume next week and is supposed to have some action that takes us away from the threat of another government shutdown. But it appears from all the chatter out there so far that Republicans remain in disarray as much as ever, which frankly increases the odds for a shutdown. We're going to talk about whether there was maybe a little too much tinfoil in Aaron Rodgers' football helmet all these years. His vocabulary has become quite limited lately. Not many sentences go by without cancel or censor or some other form of conspiracy. And so we'll update his troubling ESPN controversy that's going on right now. We have our climate check segment with Melissa Baldoff coming up in about 20 minutes or so, talking about the value of net zero and how Wisconsin is moving toward a new era in reduced pollution. And we will visit along with Andrew Kell from Renew Wisconsin about that. We're going to be joined by Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio in Wisconsin Rapids, by Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show, and by Horton, who's going to talk to us on behalf of the Wisconsin Public Education Network in this week's homeroom segment, as we look at the forms of legislation that are in the hopper right now in the legislature that could be helpful, could be harmful. Bryn's job is to track it all and let us know what it is that our state legislators could do for us or do to us, as the case may be. 6 a.m. temperatures around Wisconsin look like this, and they've hardly budged a degree since this time yesterday. So Lake Wissota sits at 28, Hayward 27, same as yesterday, Park Falls 27, Wausau 30, Green Bay 32, La Crosse 31, Wisconsin Rapids 31, Oshkosh 32, Madison 31, and Oshkosh 30. And what that also means is being that close to, you know, the freezing mark or the melting mark, as the case may be, that's some wet, heavy snow that fell in some places. And if you haven't attempted to move snow yet but think you're going to, I can't stress enough to be very careful, be very cautious. I will tell you from personal experience that the very last wet, heavy snow we got was, I believe it was March 5th or 6th. And I know that because I was flying out that day for a work trip to California, and it was the very last load that I lifted of wet, heavy snow, and I tweaked something in my back, and it stayed tweaked for a couple of months, it feels like, before it just finally worked itself out. So speaking from experience with the wet, heavy snow, don't take anything for granted. Just take it easy there. This is normally where one Greg Bach would talk to us from Waukesha. But as Greg mentioned before, some very well-deserved time off starts today. So Anya's nice enough to be filling in the producer chair out there in Waukesha. Anya, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good. What are you thinking of being awake at this hour, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and at work already?
Well, I have to admit, when I was leaving from producing Busted Pencils last night, it occurred to me that I was just going to be back in this chair in 10 hours anyways. So I actually haven't slept in between shows. I'm going to be going to sleep after this. So I am kind of wide awake and bushy-tailed. It kind of works.
Kind of, in that weird wired way that says, if we can just keep you going for another 1 hour and 49 minutes, that's fine. If you can snooze all you want after that, that's
yes,
really
sir.
All we ask. All right? Anya, what would we want to know about you for if we were just meeting you, as many of us at the 6 a.m. hour are? What's a little about you?
Oh, want to know is an interesting question.
What do you want to tell us about yourself?
There we go. Well, I was a film major in college, so my background is in media and film. I also worked in Jewish education during that time. So this past year, moving into radio media has been strange, but somehow not all too different from making a film or running a kindergarten classroom. Oddly, a lot of parallels between these three careers I've found myself in. So
nice.
That's me succinctly, I suppose.
No, that works out very well. And again, nice to have you along here. I hope it's a good experience for you.
It is so far.
You know, Greg is mostly reliable, but it's always nice to know somebody's there just in case. And God, it just can't be Mathers again. He's just an awful, awful person.
Hey, now, that's my boss. I want to make sure.
There, see, that's what I was waiting for.
Yep.
I set you up for that perfectly. Good. You,
yes,
tell
sir.
You what, Luke has got him trained well, man. That's good on him. I was up past my normal bedtime as well, going to a concert in Eau Claire at the Pablo Center, a tribute band, an ABBA tribute band. Now, I know you're too young for ABBA on the radio, but probably not for, say, Mamma Mia, the play or the movie or something like that.
You say too old for ABBA on the radio, but Pat, I'm a Springstead girl. I'm a far up north girly originally, so I'm used to coming from a place with two stations, one country and one classic rock and classics of that sort. And I'll tell you what, my dad didn't like country. So I did grow up with a little bit of ABBA on the radio, okay. Just not... Well, you know, when it first came out.
Then you know. All right. Well, that's good. Well, then you'll appreciate all of the oldsters that were there last night in the audience. You know, this band would tell people, you know, to wave their arms, and they'd wave their arms, and wave your phone flashlights, and they'd wave their phone flashlights. And it was nice. It was nice to hear the music and everything. Unfortunately, it's tougher to enjoy on a school night. Any
Very
school
so.
Night,
yep.
You know, a Tuesday night's not really a party night. And when you know you have a super early alarm, it's a little bit of a buzzkill, but it was still nice to do something. I mean, I'm never going to fight over live music. Live music is always a great way to go, you know, anytime that you're out.
Oh, yeah.
And it's good to have that in Eau Claire, to have the Pablo Center there at the confluence of the Chippewa and Eau Claire Rivers. Sherry and I were standing there during the intermission and, just could not believe the progress that has been made in some downtowns around Wisconsin, where we were in downtown Eau Claire yesterday. When we first met 40 years ago as students at UW-Eau Claire, that area was just a bunch of rundown housing, abandoned industrial, abandoned downtown. And to see what has happened there, the redevelopment over the years, is heartwarming. And the same can be said for, there's parts of Milwaukee like Walker's Point. I mentioned some time back that I hadn't been to Milwaukee, to that part of Milwaukee, in almost 20 years. Our daughters were born there 30 years ago. But to see what the area has done to redevelop and bring people back just makes you feel real good about the entertainment options that are out there.
Yeah, I adore Walker's Point, and especially the Walker's Point Art Center has so much to offer. They've got film screenings down there all the time. La Gente is a new group that opened down there. There is so much happening in Walker's Point. You can't hardly keep up with it now.
No, and that's a good thing. That's a good problem to have, because what you end up getting is people, and we used to love going to the Warehouse District in downtown Minneapolis, and you get people who are like, oh, I would never go into the city. I wouldn't go into, we go back and we literally have friends who they've lived in the suburbs of the Twin Cities or Milwaukee for so long that if you suggest going downtown, you can just feel like, I don't know. It's like, oh, you are, don't be that person. Don't. There's shows to see. There's sports events. There's concerts. There's great restaurants, what about? And I'm like, don't what about. There's bad people everywhere. And if you want to stay sheltered that way, hey, you go ahead and live your life that way. But for those of us who want to get out and see a concert or dinner or whatever, I'm really thankful for all the people who invest in building these places back up and giving us some very nice places to run and play. So that's, if we both sound a little sleepy, now Anya's excuse, and now mine as well from being at the concert just a little past my bedtime yesterday. It's 6:17 right now. There's not much to tell you for sports in terms of last night. The one game of note is the Marquette women's basketball team is ranked 23rd in the nation. And Marquette beat Seton Hall last night 75-54. That was the first win at Seton Hall for Marquette since 2019, snapping a four-game losing streak. And the Marquette women return home to host DePaul on Saturday. The Badger women's basketball team hosts Northwestern tonight. The Badger men's basketball team is at Ohio State tonight. And you can catch that game on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine. And then, what else? Who am I missing? The Marquette men's basketball team hosts Butler tonight at the Fiserv Forum. And then the Bucks' next game, they host the Boston Celtics, and that's tomorrow at 6:30. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to talk again about some of the most recent comments by Aaron Rodgers, how he is still, as we try to move on from COVID, he is still spouting conspiracies and getting into trouble by saying just horrible things and then saying, oh, I can't believe you can't take a joke. So we'll get into that, and then the things about the Donald Trump trial, the things said there that, again, you wish they were a joke, but they are not. Those details coming up in just about 90 seconds, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, CarMex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for CarMax? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created CarMax in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for CarMax when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
This would be for Rod Stewart. It's his birthday today, turns 79 today. Rod Stewart born in London this day in 1945. All right, as we unpack some of the news here, and there's always a lot to unpack on any given day, let's start with Aaron Rodgers and kind of try to dispense with this in pretty short order. And you say, well, then why even bring it up? He left. He's gone. He's not around anymore. Kind of for the same reason we try to avoid Ron Johnson. I mean, he's been reelected. He's going to be there for five more years yet. But occasionally, people say things that are so outrageous, and they're going to just continue to get away with it for shock value or whatever the case may be, unless there's pushback. And that's the reason that I bring this up, is that when Aaron Rodgers can get paid very well to go on some jock's radio station, radio show, and spew things, it's one thing to spew your, say, your medical opinions. It's another thing to, whether jokingly or not, you know, imply that someone is a pedophile, that it's when that well-paid, arrogant celebrity, whoever he or she is, needs that kind of pushback, both publicly and, frankly, from the courts, if it gets to that point. Specifically, Aaron Rodgers is back on the Pat McAfee show on ESPN, and he responded to the controversy he created a week ago, but didn't apologize to late-night host Jimmy Kimmel by implying that Kimmel would show up on a list of people associated with Jeffrey Epstein, the person who did many horrible things with human trafficking and underage sex and apparently hobnobbed with a lot of celebrities along the way. And Rodgers and Jimmy Kimmel have not been getting along. There's been some kind of beef between them for a while. Again, that's the celebrity world. People get to say things, and sometimes they can offend one another. But there still has to be a line someplace. And so Rodgers, talking last week, talked about a court list of people associated with Jeffrey Epstein. And Aaron Rodgers said something along the lines of, there's a lot of people, including Jimmy Kimmel, that are really hoping that list doesn't come out. Well, that just plunged the show and Rodgers into controversy. Kimmel opened up his monologue on Monday night talking just about Aaron Rodgers. And that's the part that I wanted to share, is Kimmel saying, you know, I've seen guys like him before. Adding that Aaron Rodgers, quote, genuinely thinks that because God gave him the ability to throw a ball, he's smarter than everybody else. The idea that his brain is just average is unfathomable to him. We learned during COVID, somehow he knows more than science than scientists. A guy that went to community college, got into Cal on a football scholarship and didn't graduate, someone who never spent a minute studying the human body, is an expert in the field of immunology. He just puts on a magic Green Bay Packers helmet and thinks that the G on the side of it made him a genius, which I thought was a great line. But of course, for Rodgers, his response went like this. This is the game plan of the media. They try and cancel. It's not just me. If you look at all the different people who've been censored from the internet, especially during COVID, the canceling that went on, the censoring, using the government to try and censor people. Oh my God. How much tinfoil was in his helmet that's his answer now is to use censoring and canceling as many times in a sentence as possible. Look, if you want to share your opinion on COVID and what you're hearing and what, you know, you read on the internet, fine. You know that you open yourself up to things like what Jimmy Kimmel said about whether we should really be trusting you or trusting the scientists that work on these things day in and day out. But when you then cross a line and in your frustration with somebody, make a Jeffrey Epstein joke. Well, Kimmel has threatened to sue. He wants an apology, says he probably won't get it, and he probably won't. But if all of this leads just a few more people to understand what a goofball Aaron Rodgers is and isn't worth your time listening to somebody's radio show on ESPN about it, I welcome it. Those are folks that might actually listen to radio shows with a bit more respect for the truth and science and things like that. But on the topic of outrageous things being said, we come to one of Donald Trump's many court trials here. In this case, a court of appeals deciding whether the former president should be immune from prosecution for his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. And he's giving the old, Dick Nixon defense. Well, when a president does it, it's not illegal. And that's not true. It could never be true that a president becomes a sovereign. You know, we fought a revolutionary war to make sure we didn't have kings and things like that. Now, the president and his attorneys are making the case that if there isn't total immunity, then every future president can go back and prosecute a past president for something. And they're saying you don't want to open up that Pandora's box. But the thing is, that's always been true. It's just that until Trump, most people had the norms, the intelligence, and the respect not to try to govern that way where you're trying to jail your political opponents. But Trump's lawyer took it a step further. One of the judges said, well, so what you're saying is that Donald Trump, if he were president, could have ordered SEAL Team 6 to assassinate one of his political opponents here in the country. And you're saying he couldn't be criminally prosecuted? And Trump's attorney said, not unless he's been impeached and convicted first by the Senate. Unless the House impeaches and the Senate convicts him during an impeachment trial, he has total immunity. Which is ridiculous when you consider Trump's two impeachments, where in both cases, the evidence against him was ironclad. But he escaped conviction because he was able to convince enough of his political allies to be absolutely timid woodland creatures and not convict him. And so under this, President Trump at the time, and if he were to get elected again, could literally shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue. I can't believe we're still using that line all these years later. And yet he's still making the case that he could do it. And that a court shouldn't be able to convict him. Now, thankfully, the three justices on this Court of Appeals panel all seemed rather skeptical of giving a president all-encompassing power. They seem to understand that there is a point where the criminal justice system steps in, where there are checks and balances, where there are rules of evidence. And that way, hopefully, cooler heads prevail. But I did appreciate one online poster who helped me see it another way. And again, I say this tongue-in-cheek, not with encouraging political violence. But based on what Trump just said yesterday and Trump's lawyer said yesterday, what that means is, hey, Joe Biden is the president right now. What Trump is saying that is that Biden could have Trump assassinated so long as there are at least 34 senators who would go along with him, refuse to impeach and convict Joe Biden, and Joe Biden could do that to Donald Trump. Is that the game that Donald Trump wants to play? I don't think he's thought this one all the way through. But then again, who has really accused anybody who wears these tinfoil hats of thinking these things all the way through? When we come back, Andrew Kell from Renew Wisconsin joins me and Melissa Baldoff as we have our weekly climate check report. Talk about getting to zero, net zero emissions in Wisconsin someday, why that's a worthy goal and how you go about doing it. That's coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Most of this week's heavy weather is now over eastern Massachusetts and Maine. Some areas in its wake underwater. Here's CBS Baltimore's Paul Gessler.
City parking garages open free to nearby residents to get their cars off the streets before floodwaters rise.
Passenger Vicky Krepps describes how it felt when that door plug blew out of an Alaska Airlines jet last Friday.
There was a little, what I want to describe as somebody putting on the brakes. There was a little pitch forward in my seat, and then a big gush of wind that pushed me back against my seat.
Boeing CEO says the company will acknowledge its mistakes. National Security spokesman John Kirby says despite the defense secretary's medical secrecy,
at no time was the ability for the United States military to defend our national security interests compromised. At no time was the commander-in-chief not always in command and control of our military forces around the world.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. New technology developed in Wisconsin could help doctors detect developmental disorders before a baby is born. The University of Wisconsin in Madison says it's currently focused on autism, ADHD, and other disorders that aren't usually diagnosed until later. Republicans say they'll shut down the federal government if they don't get a deal to shut down the border. Congressman Brian Stile on WISN-TV's Up Front.
We're fighting about whether or not we should be mopping up the mess on the floor. I say, turn the spigot off, and you turn the spigot off by actually ending the illegal immigration in the United States and securing the border.
Democrats note that lawmakers have passed on several opportunities to update immigration laws, but haven't. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with some light snow developing by late this afternoon. Our high right around 30 with wind west at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy with some light snow, a couple of inches possible by the time everything ends late tonight. Our low 20. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 28. More measurable snow possible Friday, Saturday. After that, it is going to get really cold. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel.
Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
Locally grown radio, WFHR, the Todd Albaugh Show.
Peter Rapine joins us once again.
For you bums world, we had our holiday party last night.
You scheduled this holiday party for your company, just thinking it was a cool little bar.
Yeah, so we find that we're in the middle of a singles mixer. Some guy stops me, hands me a card with someone's name on it and a phone number, which was flattering. And then he also handed me a joint, and I accepted both.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
called off and brought along a guest as well as we learn about a phrase called net zero. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Very good. All, you know, energized off the holiday break and everything like that. And so as we start looking at issues that'll be making news in the new year, obviously you and I are talking about climate every week, and it's nice to have something fairly tangible to discuss at the Wisconsin level, and that's getting to what's called a net zero future. Do you want to talk a bit about that as we introduce our guest from Renew Wisconsin?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, this is something that I think a lot of people have been really excited about the progress that's happening. Of course, knowing that we have a long way to go to get to net zero carbon emissions by 2050 in Wisconsin. That is the goal, to, you know, transition away from those fossil fuels that we know are, you know, causing harmful pollution, that are causing a reliance on, you know, foreign oil companies, that are really, you know, standing in the way of energy independence for people in Wisconsin. And, you know, one of the ways that, you know, that we will get there is through the advocacy of organizations like Renew Wisconsin, who has really been, you know, dedicated to building that, you know, more resilient clean energy future through advancing renewable energy throughout the state. You know, they've been working on policy and advising, you know, businesses, local leaders, state officials, you know, kind of everyone across the spectrum on how we get there. So I'm really excited to have with us today a guest who is the policy director at Renew Wisconsin to talk a little bit about, you know, their work and how they are going to help, you know, help make sure we get to our goal of net zero carbon emissions by 2050. So today we have Andrew Kell, who is the policy director at Renew Wisconsin, to chat a little bit about what they're working on.
Sounds great. Andrew, good morning. Thank you for being here today.
Good morning, Pat. Good morning, Melissa. It's nice to meet you. Thank you for the invite to come on your show and talk about what we're doing at Renew Wisconsin and how Wisconsin is going to get to a zero carbon emissions by 2050.
That's fantastic. Well, before we get to the zero carbon emissions, let's hear a bit more about Renew Wisconsin. What can you tell us about the group?
Sure. Yeah. Renew Wisconsin is a non-for-profit organization that works to get renewable energy resources developed here in the state of Wisconsin. So we educate, collaborate, and work with, you know, state officials and other organizations and businesses, utilities, to get clean energy developments like I said, in the state of Wisconsin here. We've been working since 1991, so over 30 years here in the state of Wisconsin, to get good, you know, programs and policies provided for Wisconsin citizens and businesses to be able to make the investments needed for renewable energy.
So is a lot of that work done through the public sector and seeking legislation and rules and things like that versus the private sector, businesses and individuals?
Yeah, it's kind of all of the above. So in particular, so I'm policy director for Renew Wisconsin, and a lot of the work that I do interfaces with the Public Service Commission, which regulates utilities here in the state of Wisconsin. But Beata Wierzba, she's our government affairs director. She works on legislative items with you know, folks that are up at the Capitol. And we've got other analysts and staff attorney now to work on, you know, policies and pieces of legislation, rulemakings that happen in state agencies, and then also working with businesses to make sure they're aware of incentives and the economics of, you know, solar and wind and other resources so that they can make those investments to serve their own customer needs as well. And we're a member-based organization, so a lot of the solar installers that will install solar in your rooftop, solar in fields at larger scales, our members, and we work with them to, like I said, get good programs and rules and policies passed so that there's a pathway for renewable energy development.
Okay, and that goal of net zero is a point, according to the Renew Wisconsin website, it says where we emit no more carbon into the atmosphere than can be removed. So before we talk about how we get to net zero, let's back up another step and talk about why. Why all of this talk about net zero emissions? What's the reason for that?
Yeah, that's, you know, in general, globally in line with the Paris Climate Change Accord, in order for nations and states, local governments, businesses to work towards getting to net zero emissions by 2050, which scientists say is needed to stabilize the climate, to have a stable and sustainable climate for the global environment through centuries to come. So that's something that's we're working on in sort of that medium term over the next few decades to get those policies passed and get investments made so that we can transition the infrastructure that's needed to get to zero carbon emissions by 2050.
That's great. And I know that, you know, there have been studies that show that, you know, getting there is an achievable goal for Wisconsin. The devil's in the details of how we get there. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, what kind of renewable energy sources Wisconsin has right now? Like, what does our portfolio look like right now?
Sure. And, you know, I'll focus on the electric generating sector, you know, which powers our homes and businesses. And right now in the state of Wisconsin, over 75% of the capacity that serves our homes and businesses is fossil fuel based. Over 45% of the capacity comes from natural gas generating units, and about a third of the generating capacity comes from coal. And this is from the Public Service Commission's Strategic Energy Assessment, which is a statewide, essentially, report on, energy usage and energy resources used to power our economy. And, you know, beyond fossil fuel resources, there are some renewable energy resources being used in the state of Wisconsin. About 8.7% of our generating capacity comes from wind generating resources, and about 3.5% comes from hydro generating resources. And right now, only a little over 1% comes from solar, but there are large investments now being made in solar, and that percentage should increase dramatically over the next decade or so. And I'll be happy to talk about the results of the study that we had done a couple of years ago now, and talk about what that future dynamic will look like over the course of the next few decades and what that will look like by 2050 ultimately. But right now, the main takeaway is that we are still primarily powered by fossil fuel resources, but we're all in the process right now of turning that over to get all those resources replaced with renewable energy resources.
Andrew, pardon my sarcasm, but I just can't help it. So you guys are the guys who are going to come confiscate my lawnmower in the middle of cutting the grass, and you're going to have to pry my gas stove out of my cold, dead fingers. Is that what we're talking about? Is that the future to get to net zero? Is what we're hearing on certain right-wing media spheres, that there's going to be this abrupt change where things that we use every day are suddenly illegal?
I understand that concern, but that's not at all what we're about at Renew Wisconsin. So we are definitely about market formation, so that, you know, the cheapest resource eventually will be a clean or renewable energy resource in the future. And we are not about taking people's, gas-powered vehicles and natural gas-powered furnaces and stovetops away from them right now. And that's something that eventually, with, you know, right market formation, with government and businesses partnering to get the incentives lined up to make sure that the research and development is able to come along the line, and then we have the cheapest option available in 2 or 3 decades from now will be non-fossil fuel based. So right now, it makes sense economically, and just the base availability of, you know, natural gas boilers and furnaces and vehicles that are powered by internal combustion engines makes sense for most folks who are making those investments right now. But long-term transition will be towards non-fossil fuel-based resources.
And the transition isn't there for just for the sake of making it. Okay, there are real benefits as outlined on the Renew Wisconsin website in terms of healthcare costs, actual deaths from air pollution, the economic incentives, not to mention the out-of-pocket costs for fuel and energy. These are things that you can actually calculate and do, right, Andrew, as you make the case to get closer to net zero?
That's right. And we actually, in companionship with the study that we had done, which is achieving 100% clean energy in Wisconsin by 2050, there was an economics firm that did additional economic modeling for us. And in the long term, as we make these investments and we're no longer dependent on fossil fuels, which we can't mine or drill here in the state of Wisconsin, we no longer become dependent on those out-of-state fossil fuel resources, and we can start making the investments for infrastructure to have clean energy infrastructure in the state of Wisconsin. When that transition takes place and all of the jobs that come along with that, all of the savings ultimately that come along with no longer having to pay for out-of-state fossil fuel resources, the savings will be an escalation to the gross state product, tax revenue, and jobs for the state of Wisconsin as well. So it's a major economic boon, the clean energy economy that is just in the infantile stage right now.
That sounds great. So I think, though, one of the things that people, still have a lot of questions about and, wonder how we get there and how do you get through this transition is, what are the policies that we need to be focused on and what needs to change in the state to help us get there? Because we know that there are these incredible benefits of that transition. So what does the transition look like?
Yeah, great question. And, again, our study goes into quite a bit on the policies that are going to be needed over the next coming years and coming decades. But I'll be happy to outline some of those right now. The first of which, I would reemphasize that no mandates, right? We're not about mandating people replace their furnaces and electric vehicles right now or in the near future for, what's oftentimes called beneficial electrification. So in general, we want to clean up the grid, and then we want to expand the grid to be able to serve the electric vehicles and the electric heat pumps of tomorrow, right? So that's a process in which we can have programs, grants, and incentives, which the federal government through the IRA has really provided new stimulus for investments for businesses and homeowners to make those investments in solar, wind, heat pumps, electric vehicles. That's getting to that market formation that I was talking about previously. So that's kind of more of a federal level. There's some of that at the state level as well. And a lot of our recommendations are associated with steps that the state government can do, either through legislation or through the Public Service Commission or another state agency or local governments as well, passing legislation to guide their decisions at the local government level. And a lot of these are associated with planning and then allowing proper financial mechanisms for businesses to make to enable them to install solar on the rooftops, and pricing as well with regards to what we call utility tariffs, or how much money the utility pays you for going solar and putting excess generation onto the distribution grid so that your neighbors can access your solar panels as well for their own energy use. And there's other pieces of legislation, such as what we call community solar legislation, that would allow other third-party developers to develop for communities solar generation. So I can go into any more of these into more detail, but there's several steps that we can make at state government that either involves legislation or government agency action.
And you can get all of that off the Renew Wisconsin website. That's renewwisconsin.org to learn more about this. Andrew Kell, Policy Director at Renew Wisconsin, thank you so much for giving us an introduction to it. It was great to visit with you this morning.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Melissa. Thanks again for the invite. Appreciate it coming on.
I look forward to having you back again. Melissa, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
And we'll have more coming up right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
This would be Scott McKenzie's hit from the 1960s, San Francisco, Where Flowers in Your Hair. Scott McKenzie was born this day in 1939, passed away in 2012. Welcome to today's history lesson and music break here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota across the Civic Media Radio Network, where on Wednesdays, we're also joined by our friend Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
How are things up in your neck of the woods?
You know, not as snowy as they are down further south, but we're doing all right.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it all mapped out. I've seen a printout of all the snowfalls. What did you guys end up close to you?
You know, here in Abbotsford, I think we got about 2 or 3 inches, maybe. That's my guess. I haven't actually walked into it. I think they got a little more in Rapids. Yeah. I'll find out tonight when I'm there for play practice.
Oh, okay. And what's our new play?
The Glass Menagerie.
Okay. Wow.
Tennessee Williams. Yeah.
Okay. And is your role like a substantive one where you have to memorize a million things, or is it just, you know, pointing and going, look?
I'm playing the mother. I have
you have many lines.
It's pretty heavy.
Okay. Well, we'll try not to fill you up with too much other extra information, but you know, it's worth pointing out that we've got a few history notes to share on this day. And I do believe Anya chimed in as well that this is a great play and the mother is the best part. Anya, you know this from experience here or what?
No, I don't call it experience. Just call it a high school drama class that I actually, that's one of the few pieces that I actually sat down and read. And correct me if I'm wrong, Brittany, it's kind of a dysfunctional family that is kind of, you get to watch them fall apart, and I think that's kind of fun when it's not your own family, right?
Melissa, what do you know about dysfunctional families?
Anya's correct, they are a bit dysfunctional. It's a memory play, so they're remembering the good times that were and living in the bad times that are.
And when is this going to premiere?
The first two weekends in March at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
All right. I'm sure we'll talk about that as we get a little bit closer. For our next little musical entry in today's history lesson, some folks, myself included, only know the name Johnny Ray from a couple of songs. There was Dexy's Midnight Runners' Come On Eileen, which starts out with Poor Old Johnny Ray. And Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire includes, you know, Johnny Ray in there. Well, Johnny Ray was like a big-time singer just before rock and roll took over, and he was born this day in 1927. Cry was one of his big hits.
If your sweetheart sends a letter.
Okay, that I could not have placed Johnny Ray if you put him in a police lineup and it was just him and Abraham Lincoln. I'm not sure I would have picked out Johnny Ray. I've heard that song.
Done many, many times. It was in the Taffetas that we've done. multiple times on stage.
All right. So that there's Johnny Ray. It was on this day in 2016. We lost David Bowie at the age of 69 after a year and a half battle with liver cancer. It was on this day in 1949 that the record wars heated up. Instead of playing your songs on a 78 RPM, RCA introduced the 45. The 45 RPM, which was higher technology.
Smaller, right?
And smaller, a little smaller than the 78s. Mm-hmm. And I really can't remember the last time I dropped a needle on a 45. Maybe 1986, 87?
I have one right over there.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
Wow. A lot of people are buying vinyl again. They're buying the albums. But, I mean, we used to play singles, 45s, all the time, you know, when we were young. And that's just something that's right up there with, you know, horses, buggy, and barrel making. Birthday today, happy 71st birthday to Patricia Andrzejewski. You don't know Patricia Andrzejewski. You know Pat Benatar. Pat Benatar was classically trained as a vocalist, and wow, what a range that woman has. From Heartbreaker, Love is a Battlefield, Hit Me With Your Best Shot. And then she, you know, when she was done with the spotlight, I guess embraced family life and, you know, raised some kids, and, you know, life was still good. And today she turned 71. So happy birthday to Pat Benatar. There are so many singers and other artists with birthdays today. We couldn't possibly play all of them in this segment. So you'll hear some more snippets throughout the rest of the show. Played Rod Stewart already, born in London this day. He's 79 today. Donald Fagen from Steely Dan is 76 today. Jim Croce. Passed away far too soon. He was born this day in 1943. He died in 1973. Sean Colvin, who had one hit with Sonny Came Home. That was Grammy Record of the Year in 1998. We saw her perform in Eau Claire a few weeks ago. She is 68 years old today. Yeah, still sounding good. She and Mary Chapin Carpenter touring together. Really good show. Nice. Boxer and entrepreneur George Foreman is 75 years old today.
Wow.
George Foreman and his sons, George, and George. All right. And one more musical snippet.
You can't forget his daughter, George. You can't forget his daughter, George, either.
His daughter, George. Of course. How could I forget? And one more for you. The number one song this day in 1976, amid America's fascination with CB radios and truckers, was from C.W. McCall.
Rubber duck, we just ain't gonna pay no toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4.
Cause we got a mighty convoy,
rocking through the night. Yep, convoy. That was the big song of 1976. You know, my dad had a CB radio, and that was what everybody, again, there's all these things. What was internet before there was internet? CB radios.
CB radios.
They were internet before there was internet.
And ham operators.
Ham operators before that. Yep. Hey, one more here. And it's, again, thanks to Roger, one of our wonderful listeners, who shares with us that on this day and 40 years ago, and I had to go check it out. Sure enough, January 10th, 1984, the famous Wendy's commercial where Clara Peller asks, where's the beef? People loved that commercial. Couldn't get enough of it back then because it summed up the dissatisfaction that people were having at the time with fast food chains, that you'd get this great big bun, but there wouldn't be much for a hamburger patty in there.
No substance.
No substance, which then Vice President Walter Mondale used to his advantage in his primary race against Gary Hart. Gary Hart claiming to have all these new ideas, and Walter Mondale said it reminded him of the commercial Where's the Beef? And while I'm very much against using, you know, live audiences and gotcha things in debates, it worked. You know, that kind of doomed Gary Hart's candidacy after that. Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio, and soon the next production on her way to Broadway. So, Melissa, thank you so much.
Good to talk to you, Pat. Good to talk to you, too. Yeah, bye, Anya.
And when we come back, we're going to have Congressman Mark Pocan in our next hour, and we'll also have our homeroom segment about what's on the legislature's to-do list for education. All that coming up in our...
Locally Grown Radio, from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.